I'm Theo.
And I'm Juliet.
And this is Apologies Accepted.
We offer an entertaining look at some of the big issues in history by examining public apologies of the famous and infamous.
We're looking at politicians, serial killers, actors, and you.
Send us a public apology you'd like to make, and we'll read it on the air and give you a chance to redeem yourself or just get some guilt off your shoulders.
We're here for you. Once a week, maybe more if you're really, really sorry.
The podcast. And I'm not Theo.
And I'm not Juliet.
And it was, okay, the bacon for today is it was my birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you.
And I got a fabulous, it's not a comic book, what do you call them? Graphic novel about Bauhaus from Theo. Thank you, Theo. It was a wonderful gift. I'm looking forward to reading it, actually, which is what you do with books. And I also got some cool gifts from Brent, some great books and some other stuff. Fortunately, I did not get an Eames chair, which I decided I didn't want. And I'm glad I didn't get a surprise gift of an Eames chair. So it was a good birthday. I had cake and we had some great Chilean sea bass.
Oh, nice.
For dinner and Brussels sprouts and sweet potatoes. And it was really nice because we don't usually cook at home. We just sort of either eat whatever or order in. So it was nice to have a home-cooked meal from Brent. So that was really sweet. And the other bit of bacon is I still need a chair because my chair is still broken. I haven't got a new chair yet.
The birthday didn't solve the chair dilemma.
This didn't solve the chair dilemma, but I didn't expect it to. So I just haven't decided. There's three chairs in the running and I just don't know which one I want. So I'm just letting it sit. I'm letting it percolate. So we'll see what I decide. But how about you? What's the bacon with you? What's shaking bacon?
Well, let's see. So on note of your birthday, I know Brent's birthday is coming up too, but I don't know when it is. Okay, great. So there is another gift coming.
Thank you. I grabbed
it arrived already? Away.
It came yesterday, yeah.
Oh, perfect. All right. So both gifts are for both of you.
Oh, thank you.
It's a cheat is what that is. It's a total
Brent
cheat.
Brent was interested in the Bauhaus book, so I'll actually let him read it now.
Yeah, that's the whole, that's why I'm flagging this. It's like, you do have to share. Right. And then on my side, we've hired our new person who is going to be taking the role I occupy. I don't want to say taking my role because who could?
And never.
Never. And this has probably never happened to you. It has happened to me once or twice where when the new person who is coming in, you just know they're going to be so much better than you are in the role. Yeah. So I'm really, really very excited for, and I'm not just saying this is true, for her and the team. She's got all the skills that I am fairly lacking. And so
she probably doesn't have the skills that you have. So it'll all even out in the end.
It'll all even out. Well, I'm not saying that I'm not amazing. I'm just saying.
Totally.
Totally amazing.
Absolutely.
Right.
Get that.
But it's kind of cool to talk with somebody and be reassured. Just, I am reassured.
That's good.
Right? That, like, everything's going to be more than great. It's going to be awesome. So cool. Yeah. And then, let's see, outside of that, more interesting news that I think is more relevant to the world. I got a manicure and a pedicure yesterday. Mm-hmm. First time in my life ever.
I can't believe you've never had one before.
Why would I have one?
Why wouldn't you? Everyone does.
Because people touch you, and I don't like servants touching me.
That is true. They do have to touch your feet, which is a little bit weird.
A little bit weird. And then also there's the whole like subservient class thing.
Yeah, that is weird too.
And all of that. And I don't want them to be thinking about me in any particular way at all. I don't want them thinking about me at all. Right.
Yeah.
But instead, what I found was it did not feel like an exercise in white privilege or male privilege or anything like that at all. Right. It was perfectly normal and fine, and I enjoyed it. Apparently, I'm ticklish. I did not know that. So that poor woman who did not speak much English, and it was a busy salon, to use a word, spa, I guess, I don't know. It was at a strip mall, so I feel like I'm classing it up to call it a spa. And the lady seated. So mistake number one was I wore blue jeans, and you're supposed to wear like shorts or
you can roll up,
you know, keep it. They need to get a hold of your entire lower leg. And who knew? Because my feet and at my ankles in my world.
Yeah.
Right. Not at my knees. And so the lady next to me was giving me some advice and telling me it was going to be okay. Right. And she was doing it in a nice way. And I was like, oh, I could tell we would be friends. Right. Uh-huh. I've got that vibe off of you. And, and thank you for helping. And I wanted to find out from the lady who spoke zero English, unfortunately. Yeah. She knew the word feet.
Right.
I think that's how she got the job. I wanted to know, like, how long have you been doing this? What language are you speaking? What can you tell from people about their feet? What have you ever had a customer that you didn't like? Tell me everything. I want to know everything, right? And I was trying to gauge her in some conversation. And I could tell after a while that my gosh, gee, Willikers kind of, I don't know, persona was starting to annoy the lady next to me. I think after a while she was just like, okay, it's cute that you're like a newbie, but now it's getting old. Much like that story. So whatever, I have the world's prettiest feet, according to the lady. That's what I understood her to say.
Of course.
Right. And yeah, and that was that. We went out for dinner last night. We live walking distance to restaurants. And so I'm forcing us to actually walk down to restaurants now and enjoy the street. And so we did. And it was just nice. And it's been a nice weekend. And I'm driving out to visit Terry in Palm Springs. I leave on Thursday. America, yay. I will be on the road.
Hey.
So lock your doors and watch out.
Only if you're in California, though. Otherwise, you can.
No, I have to go through Arizona and large parts of Texas and New Mexico as well.
True.
So everybody,
it's true.
You better be just stay off the road. Stay out of my way. It's rule number one.
Hopefully the weather will be good for your trip, but I don't think there are any weather advisories for that part of the country.
I didn't even think to check.
So I think it'll be fine. I mean, what's it going to do, rain?
Well, it is global warming, so it could be like the world's worst snowstorm is getting ready to bury New Mexico or something.
You know, they're having one in Tahoe right now. They're like getting 10 feet of snow or something in 2 days.
Yeah. And on one hand, I'm like, that's great. And then on the other hand, it's like, will it ever rain or snow again? Is that it for the year?
That's it forever.
Probably. I mean, the way things are going now, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about not the end of the world.
All right. Let's talk about Virginia Democratic State Senator Danica Rome. I believe that's how you pronounce her last name. I did not do the work to find out. Anyway, on Monday, the 26th of February, which is this past Monday, Virginia Democratic State Senator Danica Rome, who happens to be transgender, asked Republican Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears a question about the number of votes required for a bill to pass. Earl Sears replied, "Yes, sir, that would be 32, at which point Rome put down her microphone and walked out of the chamber. Several other senators eventually followed her, and Sears tried to continue with the agenda, but Democratic Senator Scott Surovell requested a recess. Earl Sears initially refused to apologize, but after two tense recesses, eventually admitted that she had, quote, said something that upset Senator Rome, like she didn't know what it was. Rome was elected to the Virginia House of Delegates in 2017 and to the state Senate last year, which makes her the nation's second out-trans state senator after Sarah McBride in Delaware, as well as the first out-trans state senator in Virginia or in any southern state. And frankly, I'm surprised that they have one at all. Winsome Earl Sears herself became the first woman and woman of color to be elected as Virginia's lieutenant governor in 2021. So I want to say she should know better than to do this kind of bullshit.
Well, don't you think?
But obviously, she doesn't. So,
I mean, I wonder how many times she's walked into a meeting room and somebody's given her a coffee order.
100,000 times,
right.
I'm sure. So, yeah, get it
together.
It
makes me very mad.
Sears. Her name is not appropriate. She is not Winsome. She has a troubling history of anti-LGBTQ plus commentary, according to a Progress Virginia press release, which quotes her as lieutenant governor, saying that school boards seeking to protect the privacy of LGBTQ plus students were, quote, making policies that destroy families. In a newspaper column in 2004, she wrote, "I also believe our society has gone immeasurably beyond almost all standards in accommodating the homosexual community over the last couple of decades." She has accused the LGBTQ plus community of co-opting the movement for Black civil rights. And in her run for lieutenant governor, she had the support of E.W. Jackson, who's an anti-LGBTQ plus minister who himself sought the position in 2013. She attended Regent University, a conservative Christian school founded by homophobic televangelist Pat Robertson. We all remember, all of us old people remember Pat Robertson. And I hope he's dead. I don't know.
I think he is, but it's nice that, like, he's so unimportant in our lives for as vile as he was is that we're not sure.
He is the worst. Danica Rome, on the other hand, is the former frontwoman of a thrash metal band famous for partying and songs like Drunk on Arrival. And I don't know how she got from a thrash metal frontwoman to the position that she now holds in the Virginia House of Delegates, but I did not do the work to find out that information.
It doesn't matter. It's a good data point.
That's a good data point. And even after 5 years in the Virginia House of Delegates, she deals with being misgendered by the people that she works with in the state legislature. She said, "I had a colleague on the last day of the General Assembly this year misgender me on the House floor in a private conversation. The colleague said, 'Sir, I mean, ma'am.' And I was just like, 'Come on, we've known each other for how many years now?'" Later.
She presents female. This isn't somebody in a suit and tie who is saying, "Internally, I feel female, but I am presenting with a beard." This is somebody who presents female.
Obviously presents female. And people who are calling her sir are just being assholes. And she said an hour after that encounter, she said she was engaged in a debate on the House floor with the Court's Justice Committee chairman. And he said, "Well, I would tell the gentleman." And she stopped the proceeding. So good for her for standing up for herself. It's got to be tough. I know it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. And it just gets back to who would willingly pick this? It is tough. Every day can be a battle for some people, right?
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier just to put on the suit and tie and present male.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, if you weren't really compelled to be a female, then you wouldn't do it.
Right.
It's my
why make your life harder feeling. In a
why
way that you don't need
harder?
To?
Exactly. So it's for anyone to call her sir is just outrageous and rude. It's really rude.
It's very rude.
It's rude and it's harmful and it should stop. So
So we'll do benefit of the doubt, right? Like you know those moments where you see somebody who's got a giant, we'll make it up, giant wart on their nose and you're talking to them and you're like, "Don't say the word wart, don't say the word wart, don't say the word wart." And then somehow you say the word wart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that was what was happening with one of or both of those people where they're like, "Don't say sir, don't say sir, don't say sir. Okay, sir." Right? But regardless, you're drawing attention to the thing that's drawn your attention.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah. Okay. My brilliant point made. Thank you, Theo.
Yeah. So I've got the apology, which I'll read in a moment, unless you've got anything to add.
Oh, you know I have stuff to add.
Please well, add
I, it. I love how you're like, "Do you have anything to say, Theo?" "No, no, I got nothing." Yeah, so the thing that irritates me a lot about gender and sex is that people presume that this is just in your head, right? So let's look at just some very brief things that really aren't in your head so that we can wrap our heads. Sure. Okay. Keep saying the word head, Theo, around this concept of sex / gender. Okay. So sex is a spectrum. And in this, we're going to talk about biological sex, physical sex, the sex organs, sexy, and not gender, right?
Okay.
Which is obviously cultural and internal, I suppose. It's more of a mindset. Okay, so five different areas to look at. We can look at chromosomes, your gonads, like your testes or your ovaries that produce testosterone or estrogen. And you can have a mix of these. You can have testes and ovaries. You can have all of one or you can have none. Your internal organs, like your uterus or fallopian tubes, you can have external testes and a uterus, right? Mm-hmm. Your external genitalia, your hormone production. Do you have a vagina, but you're producing a lot of testosterone, right? Uh-huh. your hormone response. How does your body, the physical receptors on your brain cells, is testosterone able to attach to them, or does it attach more easily than estrogen, right? So, and then of course your secondary sex characteristics, which is like breast development, wider hips, mm-hmm. facial hair, body hair, etc. These things that we would categorize as a male or female. And so just the physicality of it, you can have all different types of physical pieces of both genders. And we'll say that that term, which is applied to people who have both, is intersex, right? And so the intersex community makes up about 2% of the population. It's equal to the same number as redheads. So it's not that it's rare, but not unheard of, I guess, is the point, right?
More common than you might think.
More common than you might think. A lot of intersex people aren't aware that they're intersex. It's something mm-hmm. that is kept from them by their parents and doctors. It's fairly common in the intersex community for people to find out that they're intersex when they're in their 40s or 50s.
Wow.
Let's see. And then within that, looking at chromosomes, the thing that I really like is this idea of course, we know, or maybe we don't know, XX would be female, XY would be male, but you can have XXY, XYY. And the XYY was discovered in the 1920s, I believe it was the 20s. And they did a study of a prison population in Scotland, and they discovered that a high percentage of the male prisoners were XYY. And so the idea that was theorized or theory that the XYY was a super male, and it made you more aggressive, right? Uh-huh. And so there was conversation about perhaps aborting XYY fetuses.
Wow.
Yeah, sure. Because that would cut down on criminality.
Right.
Get rid of them, right? Of course, there's also XXY, right?
And for women.
Well, so no. They're just it's just XXY. Yeah. And of course it is odd that it wasn't called super women, right? And also that like there's no theory that said, oh, that makes people more nurturing, right?
Uh-huh.
Not at all. Just, oh, and also you can have XXY, but the XYY super male, very aggressive. Let's get rid of him. It turns out that that's not true at all. That theory has been disproved.
What about triple X?
That's porn. That's not this show.
Oh, sorry.
You're naughty. And so let's see. On that front, in talking about the XY chromosome, it's been theorized that the Y chromosome is disappearing and will be gone in about 5 million years' time. The Y chromosome, 186. So the X and Y chromosome, and what's interesting is everybody has an X chromosome. You have to have an X in order to even be alive, right? We're still not 100% sure what is going on in the world, in our minds, in biology, right? So we don't really know all the functions of the X chromosome or the Y chromosome. We understand about 4% of what the X chromosome does, right?
Wow.
So fantastic. It has been theorized, as I mentioned, the Y chromosome is disappearing. It started off at the same size as the X chromosome, which means it had about 900 genes on it. It is now a third of the size. So it has about 300 chromosomes math. However, I read this morning that it's not going to disappear. It's fine. It stopped shedding it stopped shedding genes. Sorry. All right. Great. Fine. Who knows? And then my other data point for us to consider is, allow me to introduce you to 11 animals that can change their sex.
Wow, 11.
11. We'll start with the clownfish, which is this orange and white striped fish. This one's a little bit of a cheat because it's born with the ability. We already know that it can switch sexes, right? It's not a surprise thing that happens. So it's born one sex, but able to switch to the other if necessary. The about face is called protandry, and it runs from male to female. And this is how it works. Clownfish live in groups where only two members are sexually mature, a large male and an even larger female. Mm-hmm. The rest are smaller, sexually immature males. If something happens to the female in the breeding pair, like if she gets eaten, her male mate transforms into a female and then selects the next biggest male in the group to become her new partner.
Interesting.
Which is kind of cool. Hawkfish, and that's another fish, it basically does the same thing as the clownfish. Sea bass, which you ate on your birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
Except it's not Chilean. This is the black sea bass. Found throughout the U.S. from Maine to Florida Keys. The hermaphrodites, animals that can change from female to male. Because the sea bass population is spread over large range, it's difficult for scientists to observe the reproductive behavior in the natural habitat. However, research of sea bass in tanks has revealed the sex change may be related to a supply and demand. And that kind of seems to be the case in nature. And it sort of makes sense. Banana slugs, gross. Okay. Right? So banana slugs are bright yellow and they're up to 10 inches long. And they are worm-like mollusks. Ugh. And they are simultaneous hermaphrodites, naughty things. Meaning they don't change back and forth, but they use their male and female reproductive organs at the same time. Nature, stop fucking around. Literally.
I didn't know that about the slug.
Although capable of self-fertilization, most banana slugs prefer to find a partner. All right. That's interesting. I wonder why. I wonder why they prefer to find a partner. And that's actually really a question, right? Because,
well, for genetic variety, right? You would, I don't know. But that would
yes.
be the evolutionary reason, I would think. But I don't know why they feel like they prefer
that is
sex with
it. Absolutely what it is. I was like, I wonder, is there a pleasure center in the banana slug brain?
Yeah,
or
there must be. Otherwise, why would you have sex at all?
Well, the genetic drive to keep the species going. I mean, that drive died out in me. I don't care if a species goes, but or continues. Right. But just as long as it's around while I'm here, somebody can push me in my wheelchair. Let's see here. Gross. I don't care about how they have sex. That was information my brain did not need. Butterflies.
Huh.
Butterflies. Yes. Okay. In some creatures like butterflies, the split is visible over their entire bodies. Some types of butterflies display a rare dual condition called a word, and that can cause, it's called gyandromorphism.
Okay.
Do you know that word?
No.
Gyandromorphism. There we go. And that can cause male and female traits to be arranged either haphazardly or bilaterally with one side male and the other side equally female. Gyandromorphism, I pronounce that word so many different ways, is found in crustaceans, gross, that's like crabs and lobsters. It's found in insects and birds, and perhaps most spectacularly in butterflies. This unique phenomenon occurs in approximately 1 in 10,000 butterflies. Cardinals.
And that's the bird.
Moving up the food chain here. And to things I can actually eat. I'm not going to eat a butterfly or a banana slug.
You're gonna eat a cardinal.
I would eat a sea bass. I mean, would I eat a cardinal? I would now that I know this about them. Bilateral gyandromorphism also occasionally shows up in northern cardinals.
Oh.
I don't know about the southern ones. Since male and female cardinals have different coloration, it's easy to spot a gyandromorph, which has a brown-gray female feathers on one side and bright red male feathers on the other. And now that I hear this and I actually see a photo of it, I've seen this in nature. I've seen this type of coloration on a cardinal before. I just thought it was kind of molting, right?
Interesting. Yeah.
Or
I've never seen one. That's interesting.
Some kind of weird, I don't know, disease. But no, it turns out that that's just how it is. Let's see. Okay. So one side would be male, one side would be female in the cardinal. And not only do they look different, but they also act differently. At least researchers have observed from studies in 2010. And in the study, the half cardinal was never seen vocalizing or mating. On the plus side, other cardinals seem to accept it. The researchers never treated Never witnessed it being mistreated. Yay. Frogs, I'm not going to read about them because I don't like frogs. Copperheads, I like frogs, but copperhead snakes, what? Bearded dragons also do this, and green sea turtles.
Oh.
So this is something that happens in nature.
Yeah.
There's physicality around it, meaning that they're just, it's not in somebody's head that they are female. There are people who have mixes of both sex organs, right?
Right.
Or hormones or chromosomes. So sex and gender is a spectrum.
People don't physically change their gender like a butterfly or a cardinal. They don't physically, do they?
So, no, but they do the cultural adaptations in order to get that, right?
Okay.
So they may, pad their shirts to, you know, mimic breast/have breasts, right? I'm going to shut up now because I think a cis guy with a big mouth who likes to talk should probably not start talking about cultural representation in the transgender community. What do I know? Want to be an ally and learn. So let's go ahead and rate this apology of this lieutenant governor. I know, I was so fascinating. You forgot what we were doing entirely.
more details. Okay, so after two recesses and her initial refusal to apologize, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Arnold-Sears eventually said she was sorry, but she did not specifically say that to Senator Danica Rome. Instead, she looked at each section of the chamber and said, "I apologize." Okay, so now I'm going to read what she said. "Let it be known, I am not here to upset anyone. I am here to do the job that the people of Virginia have called me to do, and that is to treat everyone with respect and dignity. I myself have, at times, not been afforded that same respect and dignity. But in this body, and as long as I am president of the Senate, and by the grace of God, I will be treated with respect and dignity, and I will treat everyone else with respect and dignity." She said that it was not the first time she had misspoken, that she had called people by the wrong name or referred to the Senate as the House in the past. And she went on to add, "It is never my intention to make anyone offended, and I hope that others would consider that they would try not to offend me as well. We are all equal under the law, and so I apologize. I apologize. I apologize. And I would hope, that everyone would understand there is no intent to offend, but that we will also give each other the ability to forgive each other. I have seen us conduct ourselves in ways that we would not expect of our own children or nieces or nephews, and so I would hope that we take the opportunity to be kind to each other, to be gracious to each other, to be about the people's business. That is what I hope. And I join you in serving the people of this great commonwealth. I join you in being a citizen of this great country. Thank you." And then she waved the flag.
I actually would expect that at the end of that speech. She did a cartwheel and fireworks shot out of the heels of her shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to tell you, that apology was not what I would expect of the lieutenant governor of the great state of Virginia and a citizen of this great country. I would expect a much better apology. If we look at the criteria for our apologies, she didn't hit a single one of them. No expression of regret, no explanation of what went wrong, although she did say that she had misspoken in the past, so she kind of implied that she misspoke, but I'm kind of thinking she didn't. No acknowledgement of responsibility, no declaration of repentance, no offer of repair, and no request for forgiveness, really. So I got to give this one a zero. I admit that sometimes I get torn by the severity of the crime, like when we have somebody apologizing for killing thousands of indigenous people, hundreds of thousands of indigenous people, I feel like that apology is going to have a zero no matter what. And this one is not quite on par with killing hundreds of thousands of indigenous people, but it still is a shitty apology. So it gets a zero just like those do.
I agree. And I actually want to give it a -3 just to be contrary, but I'm afraid that then when we average it, somehow my negative becomes a positive. So it's a zero and you can't divide by zero. So the world will explode. What really strikes me about this apology is that she makes it about her,
yeah,
right? And it's not about how she feels bad, right? Or even if she doesn't feel bad, she's just apologizing for the sake of apologizing, right?
Yep.
She has made it about her. And it's that thing of, if if it's okay for me to do this to you, it will be okay for others to do it to me. Therefore, because now I can see that others might do it to me, I am going to like say, hey, don't do this to me, you guys. All right, I'm sorry to her.
Yeah, or the reverse, like she's trying to defend what she did by saying, well, other people did it to me. So, but that is no excuse. Are you okay?
Oh, yes.
You're looking around like some crazy thing is going on, like there's a snake under your desk or something.
America and the world, everything is fine. There's dust that's falling behind my computer, and I keep wiping it up, and it keeps falling. And so I was like, is there a spider crawling on the roof or something? I don't know where all this dust is coming from. Anyway, that's, yeah, but I am.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we say that this apology is a zero on average. So fuck you, win somewhere else yours. And I've heard rumors that she's going to be running for governor of Virginia. So
oh, of course
don't
she
run
is.
For governor of Virginia. We don't like you. We don't want you to be governor. Go get a job. Okay. So do you have a who's sorry now or an apologies expected this week?
I have a FOP. I have a follow-up. Awesome. Okay. Which is great. Is it great? It is great.
It is great.
Yeah. So last episode, where we talked about the pastor, Bobby Lewis, Pastor Bobby, who...
I don't remember.
He apologized on a church sign, yeah, for saying that women deserved to be... that they deserved to be raped. Yeah, he did, basically. He implied they deserved to be raped for wearing shorts, yeah.
Yeah.
So in that episode, I also mentioned Senator Tom Woods, who had called a non-binary student filth. That non-binary student had died in the horrible, horrible situation in the state of Tennessee. And their name is Nex Benedict, presented female, but it was non-binary. Regardless, my follow-up to this is the Department of Education has opened an investigation into the state of Tennessee's handling of this death.
Good.
So I do expect that there will be some sort of an apology coming. Before I had said, well, it should come from Senator Tom Woods. We might get something from the Department of Education in the state of Tennessee.
Excellent.
Good news, I guess, more to follow. Unfortunately, the incident happened. And so there should be any good news that comes. I don't know.
Justice
I guess
for
news that comes out of it. Whatever, Theo. What about you? Apologies expected or who's sorry now?
Yeah, I have an apology expected. So the San Francisco Department of Public Health has failed to track about $500,000 in gift cards that it handed out over 3 years. There was a recent audit, and the audit said public health fiscal units don't adequately monitor how the department's programs handle gift cards, which increases the risk of cards being lost or misappropriated. It went on to say that the findings show there is little to no verifiable oversight of gift card handling. So the majority of the gift cards, $300,000 worth, were given by HIV Health Services, which is good. Smaller amounts were handed out to programs providing everything from mental health services and immigrant health services to drug recovery. Many cards were given as incentives, for example, by programs like the Street Crisis Response Team, to ensure that patients make appointments, show up to their appointments, and participate in educational programs. I don't know why. Well, last year, another audit found that the human services agencies failed to track $2.5 million worth of gift cards.
Oh, my.
And they blamed that on the pandemic, which is a stupid excuse. And I don't know why good organizations like this continue to shoot themselves in the foot and make themselves targets for Republicans and right-wing critics by doing stupid shit like failing to log who you're giving gift cards to. I mean, hello. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's pretty basic, I would say, track when you give things away.
It's, I mean, if you've got $2.5 million worth of gift cards, are you just going to throw them out in the street? I mean, are you going to let people steal them and take them home? Apparently. So I'm just mad about this. I think it's terrible, and I'd like to see something come of it, but at least an apology. So I'm expecting an apology for this.
And I've worked for nonprofits, and I'm going to say that when you work for a nonprofit, you track every pencil, right? Because somebody somewhere is going to be mad that your organization exists, and they're going to question the reason for your existence, regardless of what it is that you're doing, even if you're rescuing kids, right? Are you rescuing the right kids? Whatever.
Right.
And so you have to justify every penny that you spend. You have to track it so that when people come and scream, we're going to take the money away from you, you can show where it went, why it went there.
Why we need the money.
Blah, yeah. blah, blah. Exactly. And so yes, this does kind of seem like there's probably some director somewhere who's got a beautiful $10,000 couch. Thank you, gift cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. The gift cards are like $50 or less each. So, I mean, how many gift cards is that? That's crazy. I mean, $2.5 million worth of $50 gift cards? I can't do the math, but that's a ton of fucking gift cards.
400,000.
Easy to lose. Like, I can see a box of gift cards just being, quote, unquote, misplaced. So.
Yeah. You know what? Let's do that. Let's say, what was it? It was $2.5
million? $2.5 million, $50 gift card.
Whoops. I already fucked up. I hit 2.5 and then a bunch of zeros, which isn't 2.5 million. It's two. Thank you, comma. All right, great. Divided by 50. That's 50,000 gift cards.
That's a lot of gift cards.
That's a lot of gift cards.
I mean, I don't know what I would do with that many gift cards. I couldn't even spend that many gift cards. So 500,000 gift cards?
Take those gift cards to Edward Jones or Raymond James, and you would buy gifts of stocks.
Perfect. So, all right. So anyway, I'm annoyed about that. And we'll end on that annoyed note, because that's a positive way to end a podcast.
Totally.
So thanks, everybody. I appreciate your being here, as always. Stay cool, cucumbers, and don't trip potato chips.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Apologies Accepted, the podcast.
You can find links to the articles and the sources in the show notes.
To submit an apology or find out more, visit us at apologiesaccepted.net, where you can also find our merchandise.
We're on Twitter at apologiesaccepted.
And on Instagram at apologies.accepted.
You can support our important work at patreon.com/apologiesaccepted.
And fuck Facebook.
Bye.
Bye.